Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome back to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm going to chat to you about some games. So yeah, E3 week has happened. That is going to be our main subject today, talking about E3, but with the news section, I'm going to start off with some news which happened kind of outside E3, so yeah, let's crack on with the news. Okay, so first bit of news. Just after E3 wrapped up, the Pokemon company had a new trailer for Pokemon Unite. Showed a bit more gameplay, some mechanics and starting roster and stuff like that. I think it's a free-to-start game, so obviously means there will be microtransactions in it. So that's where they had things like unlocking different Pokemon and things like that through passes and packs will probably be the way they do it, I guess. There's no exact release date yet, but they have announced that it's come to the Switch first in July before launching on mobile platforms in September. That is a very small bit of news, but Pokemon Unite has had a new gameplay trailer and launch windows, so I dare say in a few weeks' time I'll get some more news and won't really expect to see it properly, or could potentially shadow drop. But it'll be interesting to see the reaction to it and how it plays and how many people get stuck into it. Next bit of news. Microsoft, after their main E3 event, actually held a second event just after E3 on Thursday. It was more like an in-depth development thing. So they had developers talking about the games. Showed off a bit of Hellblade 2. No real details or release information, just more behind the scenes, how they're doing some of the sound and some of the images and some of the background. So it's cool to get a bit of an in-depth look at some of the games. They did show a bit on Flight Simulator as well, and some of the little changes that are happening. So I think they've got a Land Anywhere feature. You can land wherever you like in the console version of Flight Simulator. Yeah, it was about 2 hours long, but a lot of it was kind of talking to developers and getting behind-the-scenes information rather than new gameplay reveals or new title announcements or release dates. So, I can kind of understand why that kind of stuff wasn't part of their main E3 show, especially where they had Bethesda and Microsoft in the same show. But it's also good just to get a bit more of an in-depth look at some of the games. And last up is a headline from just before E3. Thumber Games first had its opening night and opening evening, where it kind of kicked off with some game reveals. So you got that Borderlands spin-off, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, got a few people excited. A few other trailers and little game reveals. But it did end off quite well. They had a reveal, or like a new trailer for Elden Ring. The new game coming from Bandai Namco and the author of the War of Fire and Ice books, which is the inspiration for Game of Thrones. They had a first in-depth look at gameplay and stuff like that, and it's actually coming out fairly early in 2022, so I think it's January 21st next year, so just before Pokemon Legends Arceus. Elden Ring had been one that people wanted to see for a while. There had been a couple of small leaks of like snippets of gameplay and some screenshots, but it had its full kind of trailer reveal, and that is now out in the wild. Summer Game Fest opening night in general was okay, I think. A lot of people were saying it could be shorter than it was. I think they filled it with, like, music, performances and a lot of different other kind of... But, yeah, it's made the segments longer than they needed to be. I think it was a lot of people's feelings on it. But it was pretty cool to see the thumbs off there. I think Summer Games Fest and E3 needs to go, I think. And given the reaction to E3 this year, even though some of the presentations, which we'll go into detail, even though the quality maybe wasn't there due to the holds up with COVID, but I think E3 in general seems to be a lot more popular this year than Summer Games Fest needs to be. So I've seen a lot more people talking about E3 rather than Summer Games Fest. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do continue to go head-to-head still or whether E3 does remain the dominant one. But yeah, that wraps up the news, and nice and quick, we're going to head into our main segment of the show. Okay guys, so now we're on to the main subject point today, and I'm joined by a very important guest. This is from my sister show, Game Junkies Podcast. It is Matt.
Heya.
Yeah, so Matt's going to join me and we both give our thoughts on, like, some of the main presentations from E3. So it was a good look at Ubisoft, Microsoft and Bethesda, Square Enix, Capcom and Nintendo.
And of course, not Sony, because they chose not to involve themselves somehow.
That's no new news. They've sat
out. I know. It's my thinly veiled swipe at them being not a Sony boy anymore.
Fair enough. Anyway, we're going to kick straight off with the Ubisoft Forward event.
Yes.
It's the first main one. I did do a full reaction to it online. Well, maybe two shows I did do a full reaction to. I still need to get my trailer reactions for Microsoft and Bethesda up. And possibly Square Enix if I look into those a bit more. Yeah, Ubisoft Forward is like the first big publisher to have their event. And before we go in depth on the games, after coming out from it, what's your general feel, Matt?
Well, from Ubisoft or...?
From Ubisoft.
They had some good stuff. It felt a little scattergun at times. But then again, a lot of them, apart from one, which we'll get to later on, felt very scattergun in general. I like a lot of stuff. Not everything's going to appeal to everybody, obviously. Something when we get to Nintendo, I saw quite a few people whinging about not hearing about something from one particular IP. But we'll have to wait and see because I'm pretty sure we're going to disagree on several things, because let's face it, we do.
Yeah, I think Ubisoft for me, unfortunately, a lot of what I showed off was stuff they all knew about, whereas Ubisoft in the past have used E3 for quite a few announcements. Unfortunately, one of the big announcements of Ubisoft's presentation did get leaked officially earlier in that day.
Yes, you were saying about that to me, yes.
Yeah, so that was one unfortunate thing where it was very much known before the event came around.
And it was one of the biggest things at...
Yeah.
EJX. E3. I'm saying EJX again, sorry.
Yeah, but obviously the last announcement of the day, I think there was news that had been working on it, but it wasn't expected to be seen, so it was good to see it, actually see it. But, yeah, started off with the games. They started off quite heavily with Rainbow Six, quite a decent chunk of presentations spent on that.
Now, you're not a big Rainbow Six player, have
you? To be fair, I've never played a Rainbow Six game. It's just first person in general, not a massive... I don't always dive into first person stuff.
I've dabbled in Rainbow Six Siege. I've got to admit, there's a lot of stuff to like about this franchise. They've been going about last game for, I think it's 4 or 5 years now. And I think they're many, many seasons deep. And constantly updating with DLC. Yes, it's paid DLC, unfortunately. It's stuff which, in a short, sharp game as well. So it's not like you have to spend hours trying to do things like you do on some Call of Duty games, for example. I like this one, though.
Extraction looks really interesting, especially if you had to go and rate your members of the party can be taken hostage. You have to go and save them and get them back from the aliens.
I do like that a lot. I also like the fact that you have to extract them, your operators, and up further, because a lot of them you have to pay for to unlock. I'm not sure that's what that's either grinding or pay with cash. Extracting them first, that's fine. But if you have to pay on top, please don't do that, Ubisoft. Please don't do that to us.
And I think it's part of the expansion, so it's it's quite cool having to do like the shooting through the wall and like a bit more real life physics to sell the stuff as well, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And of course it's also they're doing crossplay with it as well, which is with PC and Stadia as well, aren't they? Which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Next up is a bit of a revival of sorts. It's the first game in this series for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a game, it's more like an app, from what I can see.
Yes, this was a game which, I'm going to call it a game, it's a presentation, shall we say, which I love, actually.
Yeah, it's Walksmith Plus is what we're talking about.
Yes.
The original Walksmith obviously had you plug in the guitar and teach you how to play it, basically. The new one can be done just through your phone, it can be through consoles, through PC, and it uses your phone. You sync your phone up to your console, or like the app on your phone, sync that up to your console, and it will kind of use the phone's microphone to pick up your playing. So it will effectively teach you how to play songs using a real life guitar.
My co-host Alex on Game Junkies, he actually purchased an acoustic guitar during lockdown, and he was getting not too bad at it, but then went back to work, obviously. This sort of thing would be very helpful for him, for certain. And it's nothing that appealed to me so much, because I don't play guitar. I'm not very good at those rhythm games either, but either way, that is something that's quite helpful. I mean, Ubisoft branching out of it.
Good. Yeah, so it's very much an app rather than a game, because it's teaching you, rather than trying, you can have the competitive of trying to get perfect run throughs of songs, but it's more serious, rather like the arcadey Guitar Hero style stuff. It is going to be a subscription service, it's not an upfront game, it is something you subscribe to, so.
And not quite so keen on it, I'll be brutally honest.
It'd be interesting to see how much, it depends how much they charge. If it's a couple of quid a month, then it's fine, but if they start like £10 a month, then it's kind of.
Ubisoft aren't known for being generous with their game passes, so we'll see
about that. They don't tend to do many subscription games either.
No, but if you look at games like Assassin's Creed and things like that in the past, if you've had like season passes for that, then they've been quite expensive on top of the actual game.
Yeah, but that's one-off payments rather than repeated. It's like Game Pass £10 a month.
Yeah, but
Microsoft get a lot of money back in return eventually, but compared to what you get, it's not.
Yeah, but the season pass, it only lasts for that long, and then you've got to pay for the next season on top. I get a big experience on that of our games as well, but that's what we're talking about right now, of course. So.
So Walksmith Plus could be interesting. Like I say, it all depends on the price point for that. It's not something I don't think either me or Matt will touch, because neither of us own or play guitar, so.
But it's still intriguing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So next up was Riders Republic, which one I'd kind of heard bits about, but not really done much research on or got to know much about. It actually looks pretty cool. It's quite extreme sports style games, like snowboarding, paragliding, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. And mountain biking.
The open world gameplay it's got, which can be appealing. I mean, they're trying to appeal to the Forza Horizon crowd, I suspect, there with that. But I do have to say, though, I am very much a four wheels man rather than two.
Yeah.
But it would appeal to people, for sure.
So I've always enjoyed snowboarding games. I think they're quite fun, so I think
I always suck at them. That's probably why I don't like them. Probably why I don't get into them. Well, I play them. If
I'm not saying they're good, but I find them fun, so.
As long as you that book, isn't it good to play a game fun? I'd probably give this one a pass, but it will be quite popular, I suspect.
Yeah, I think I'd probably look into it a bit more, but I'm not 100% sold on getting it, but.
Yeah. It all depends where it pops up. If it pops up on, say, Game Pass, for example, eventually, then it's definitely worth it, because it looks clean and crisp and what we've seen so far.
Yeah. Next up, something that might be more just you, Matt, is an expansion to Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yes.
The Siege of Paris.
Yes. It, as always with Assassin's Creed, it looks beautiful. But what really intrigued me about it is the Discovery Tour.
Yeah, that looked awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they do that in the other Assassin's Creed games.
Not really, no. This is a free update coming, of course, which lets you play as NPCs living their daily life and getting history lessons on the setting and time period of the world. Again, this is Ubisoft branching into educational stuff, yeah. Almost, it feels like. And how can anyone have a problem with that?
Yeah, that's one thing I'd really like with the games, if we can have a look and kind of get stuck into finding more about the game worlds. Because obviously they do base it on historical things and history.
Well,
even though their own spin on some things.
This is it. I mean, as much as I've trashed Unity, and rightly so for how bad that was released, when the unfortunate fire happened at Notre Dame, obviously, they actually used parts of Unity to help in rebuilding, because they designed it literally to the letter from that original. That's brilliant. Ubisoft, again, helping a good cause. I'm also very pleased to hear they promised to deliver more expansions in its second year for Valhalla.
Yeah, so it's good they're supporting the game, but obviously it means there won't be a Assassin's Creed this year. Not sure about next year, but
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that, because that was a problem with Assassin's Creed for so long. If you were getting a new game every single year.
Yeah,
you didn't get a chance to finish them sometimes. Sometimes they were just like copy and paste in places. I mean, you literally got Unity, Rogue, and Syndicate literally so far one after another. I'm like, I haven't even started the last one yet. So why would I want to play this one? They got very, very annoying.
It did affect the quality in some regards as well.
Mm. Yeah, which is unfortunate. But yeah, the good thing, of course, is Discovery Tour is a free update, not for pay.
Then they dived into Far Cry 6. Yes. If they showed off a lot of it recently, they did introduce the villain.
Yes, yes they did.
You're quite dark, actually, which is quite surprising.
You've not played Far Cry before, Chris, have you?
No.
Yes. This is what we call.
Well, no, the villains are one of the kind of perhaps OTT, but quite.
This is for Far Cry fans like myself and Alex. This is par for the course.
Yeah.
I did like the fact that part of the season pass content, you get to play as Vaas, Pagan Min, and Joseph Seed, who are. That is my last three games. Joseph Seed from Far Cry 5, Pagan Min, Far Cry 4, and Vaas. Actually, he was the cover art for Far Cry 3, but wasn't he that a great deal? But he was the most memorable character, so I'm glad he's back. And also, you get a dog, you must protect the dog! You must protect the dogs!
Now, there is a version of it, where you actually get Far Cry 3 as well.
Hmm. Far Cry 3 came free with Far Cry 5 as well.
Yeah.
Yes, but so Far Cry 3 is one of the best games Ubisoft has ever made.
Fair enough.
So that's, if I give a button about every time, works for me.
Yes. Then we moved on to what would have been the two unannounced games, the games that were their big show off. 3-3. Which is quite surprising, because looking at it, it's like probably about seven games altogether they showed off.
Yes.
Whereas normally Ubisoft have had quite a few games at their conferences, so
they focused on the big stuff. And in fact, this is all big stuff. Yeah. Rise aside, maybe, these are all big things, definitely.
Yeah, so they officially announced Mario + Rabbids Sparks of Hope. It was unfortunately leaked on Nintendo.com early in the day. The page went live before the Ubisoft presentation did.
I get the feeling someone's going to get fired for that. Yeah, unfortunately.
Just They set this page to go live on this date and not checking what time they set it for.
Yeah, it wasn't good, was it?
The thing is, it's been heavily rumoured for years, like, after the success of Kingdom Battle.
It shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have worked at all.
Yeah, but after Kingdom Battle was such a big success for Ubisoft, like, it was kind of expected they'd do a follow-up.
You played Mario Plus Rabbids, haven't you?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's really cool.
I really enjoyed it. I remember before I got my Switch, before we met, actually, I sat down to watch an OX stream of him playing it, and Luke, who is the biggest fanboy of Mario and Rabbids, was there, and he was just like, Nintendo's not made this, have they? Because he saw Ubisoft in the title. So he was really, really worried that they were going to butcher things. He needn't have worried.
Yeah.
They work so closely together on it, you can tell.
Yeah, I think of Nintendo, even though they license things to other studios, they do keep a close eye on things. And, like, Miyamoto is involved in a lot of discussions, and Carl Challenge have said, though, if you're going to have the Mario franchise, do something that's not been done before. And they did that.
So they did XCOM.
Yeah.
They basically made XCOM with Mario and Rabbids. This should not have worked. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is bizarre. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, but it's good. They're going bigger scale, more ambitious, which is good.
They're incorporated. They're going into the galaxy, aren't they, now?
Yeah, galaxy themes. Obviously, you've got Rabbid Rosalina. Yeah, it's just the characterisations they get are brilliant, so...
Yeah,
so
people were going mad for Rabbid Luna. Okay. So fantastic. And obviously, free movement within a circle this time, not square.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. That's kind of interesting.
I think I wouldn't be at all surprised by the time it releases if you could change the playstyle in the options.
Yeah. I think it gives you more freedom, though, which is good. So, so next up, and the last thing they showed off was another big partnership for them.
You were very excited about this. Yeah. And I can speak from experience having seen you firsthand, fanboy over this.
The Avatar Frontiers of Pandora game made its debut. It had been reported that Ubisoft were working on an Avatar game. They've really kind of spent a lot of time on this, and it's apparently their passion for the Avatar game that Disney decided to give them a Star Wars game as well.
Yes.
Obviously, nobody knows who's been given on this at all yet, but they got a Star Wars game off the back of their attention to detail and passion on the Avatar game, so
yeah,
certainly interesting.
Having seen you fanboy in Animal Kingdom and Mother of Pandora, it's beautiful, and having the Flight of Passage ride at Animal Kingdom, and how real that felt, and that this imagery we got was amazing as well. And we've seen a cinematic trailer so far, and that's fine.
Yeah. I think there were I wouldn't say it's gameplay, but a little look to what gameplay could be like. There's a few little first person bits, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yes.
If it did those first person aspects were how the game played. So I think they might have snuck in a couple of bits of gameplay, but dressed up as a cinematic trailer. But it is due next year, so hopefully we'll see more of that fairly soon. I think I was surprised, not necessarily surprised, but disappointed to see, like, obviously we've got Skull and Bones, which is their kind of Sea on Thieves take.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be out a couple of years ago, and it just seems to be like, oh yeah, we're not showing it this time.
I'd rather they not rush it, though. As someone who's a massive fan of Sea of Thieves now, when it first came out, it was very empty, but now the world feels alive, especially what we're going to come to later.
You know, it's just they didn't seem to show, they just haven't shown anything, so I think a lot of people are concerned about the development and whether it's really struggling.
It may be in the back burner a little bit during the pandemic, which I wouldn't be surprised about. I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be surprised about.
Another game that had an awesome reveal trailer, got really well received, and again, it hasn't been seen since, is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yes.
I know they do little updates, but there's no real news on when we expect to see it, what formats, or anything about any gameplay yet, really. So I think this is potentially Ubisoft announcing things far too early. Kind of similar to the Metroid Prime situation at Nintendo.
Yes.
And Bayonetta 3 for that point.
It was messy.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'd rather have seen some, even if it's just like a little update on those, as, oh, by the way, we're excited to show you more Skull and Bones, it's going really well. That's something along that, but yeah, it kind of just weren't mentioned. And obviously, the Sands of Time remake has been delayed to next year now.
Disappointing, but not surprising. Again, not surprising. The pandemic put so much thing behind. Yeah,
especially with India at the moment. India is really badly affected, so that, and it is being developed in the Indian studios. And I think after the first initial reaction where it's shown,
yes,
I think a lot of people were disappointed in how it looked and kind of wanted to see it, or expected a bigger step up for a remake, for like a remake or remaster.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Ubisoft have kind of taken a step back. So actually, no, we're going to put more effort, do more of a remake, and then kind of reshow it maybe next year. Yeah, because I'm excited to get Sands of Time again. I really liked that game when I first played it, so I'm really excited to go back into that world and see the return of Prince of Persia, really, because
it's been on pause since Assassin's Creed came
in. Yeah, I think Assassin's Creed came in and kind of took the space that Prince of Persia kind of had before that.
It would be nice to see Prince of Persia and basically say, move over, Assassins. We were here first. We want to share a bit of spotlight again.
Yeah. By the way, moving on to our next conference that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
It's a bit of a monster one. It was Xbox and Bethesda's first joint showcase since Xbox
purchased them.
Acquired them, basically. Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, it was quite a bold move. They put Bethesda out first. They put Todd Howard on stage.
They put him front and centre, didn't they? Yes.
Which
surprised me because I wasn't expecting announced first as the first thing they would be able to go talk about. I thought they might leave it toward the end, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's one that you would have thought would have been at the end. I think potentially should have been at the end.
But also, but bearing in mind how, and this is my personal opinion, how brilliant this showcase was, it goes to show they started hard, and that was good.
But do you think they stuck learning what they showed at the end?
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. But basically, Starfield showed off. It is still quite a way out. It's not due out until November 2022. It has been confirmed to be an Xbox exclusive, so no PlayStation version.
And kind of Game Pass as well.
Yep. As an Xbox published or Microsoft published game, it will be day one Game Pass.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I say that very, very much remembering Fallout 76. But I don't think Microsoft will let them make that mistake again.
Yeah, I think with Microsoft on the back, there's going to be a lot more. But
yeah,
on the counter of that, if it's coming to Game Pass first and people aren't necessarily paying up front for it, they could take a similar route where they release it and kind of update it as needed.
I don't like that model, I don't agree with it,
but because people tend to be a bit more lenient if they're not paying out
the game
60 or 50, 60 quid for it.
For example, the game preview thing which Xbox does.
Yeah.
That's great for things like Subnautica and games like that, which, you know, the game's not finished, sort of thing. Or Grounded. Yeah. For example, next to the game preview thing is Xbox Home Studio, yes, but at the same time, they're a startup, effectively, aren't they? And to be fair, Grounded's great. Loving it. But they get a pass because they're a game preview game. Being updated constantly like that when it's not, it just gives me Cyberpunk vibes.
But should games just be given that pre-release kind of sticker, kind of.
If you've got a game from a publisher like Bethesda, for example, that should be released completed. No argument. And I've got the same vitriol for Project Red releasing Cyberpunk that way. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like obviously you don't want it. You don't think Starfield's going to fall under that same umbrella as Grounded.
No, not at all. I'm saying Grounded gets that path because it was because they're the people that have
developed. Yeah, but you're saying even if they put Starfield under the game preview.
No. Bethesda, because Bethesda created this.
Yeah, but also under the Microsoft.
If I can get a word in, please.
Yeah.
Bethesda are this big company, whereas the studio doing Grounded, yes, it's owned by Xbox, but it's literally their first game they've ever made. Bethesda have got plenty of experience in this.
But you can argue that both ultimately published by the same company, and Microsoft made the decision to do it as a game preview.
Yes, but they also started Grounded before they actually purchased Bethesda as well.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a slightly different situation. Anyway, we're digressing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to giving Starfield a go, for sure. But also, the next one they announced also got my attention straight away, which was Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl.
Yeah, Stalker's not something I know much about, really.
It's gritty. It's
dark.
It's dank. It's beautiful. We saw several different scenarios, extended gameplay. It looks like we're going to get to explore the overworld. Some very intricate dialogue options, which is right up my street. And raiding the enemy camps. Let's face it, that's part and parcel for the Stalker franchise, as it's becoming. Heart of Chernobyl, perfect place for it. Absolutely.
So I can't say much about Stalker because I've not replayed it. It's not a game that stuck out to me. I haven't watched the trailer.
If you get a chance to give it a go, because it probably it's a Bethesda game, it'll be on the Xbox Game Pass, obviously, at some point. Do give that a go.
Yeah.
Another one that's going to be on Game Pass, obviously, is going to be the continually mentioned Back for Blood. They've actually finally got a release date confirmed, locked in now, apparently, which is the 12th of October. And they've got a Swarm Survivor mode as well. They announced that as well. Which, mayhem. Mayhem, that'll be. Mayhem in Zombie World. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've got Avalanche Studios, who famously made the Disney Infinity stuff and things like that.
Yes.
They're working on a new game, Contraband.
It's
co-op open world,
Another apocalyptic setting. It seems to be a theme after the last year, isn't it? But the next one was one that I was quite excited about.
Pirate's Life.
The Pirate's Life expansion for Sea of Thieves, which features the Pirates of the Caribbean characters. And the good thing is that you can go off and do those just like little missions and come back to what you're doing with your crew. So that's really kind of cool. I like that a lot.
Showing off more Battlefield 2042, because obviously they've got that agreement with EA, because EA's got games on Game Pass. So I have them coming pretty soon after release as well, which is pretty cool.
I've got to admit, I've never been a Battlefield boy. But I'm not saying I wouldn't give it a go.
Well, some are better than COD, and generally reviewed better than COD, so...
Yeah, I thought I'd give it a go once. I like, you know, I did about using a grappling hook.
Yeah.
I'm more the grappling hook boy.
It's new... Psychonauts 2 footage finally got a release date for Psychonauts 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's been long in development, so...
I'm interested with 12 Minutes as well. That's coming out day one release on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Day for my birthday. So that'd be good. That I'm looking forward to giving that a go for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how the... I'm not sure if I'd enjoy the repeated time slot thing.
Spoken like a person who's never played Life is Strange.
I might get an opportunity to later in the year, so...
I've got to admit, I'm not looking. I wasn't blown away by the Fallout 76 expansion they're talking about. me and Alex have ripped that game to shreds so many times on Game Junkies, and we will continue to do so. No, for me, it's a no for me. You can't have it every time, I know, but they really messed this one up for me.
Yeah. So next, we're going to skip ahead to the next big thing that was in the presentation, which is Halo Infinite. They kind of kept this in the middle, which is kind of
clever.
A bit strange. This probably could have been a good ending, like double end it with Starfield and Halo Infinite.
Mm.
But I think the reason they didn't is because they haven't got a release date for it yet, which is the concern.
Mm.
If they manage to date Starfield a year and a half out.
Yes.
It's a bit eye-raising that they've not heard anything about Halo Infinite's position. Mm.
Yeah, we did get some information though. We got confirmation about it that the multiplayer is free to play. It will be a day one Game Pass release, but we knew that already, of course.
Yeah, it goes without saying with the Microsoft Games studio game.
But the new story trailer did tell us that Cortana is back.
Yeah.
So Cortana, obviously. Fan favourite, even though villain at one point. I don't know if they still are a villain or not, to be fair. It was changed so many times, but yeah, looking forward to it. I know for some of your friends would be interested about Diablo 2 Resurrected as well.
Yes. New trailer for that. And trailers looked interesting. A new snowboarding game, but it's made by some people who make it have been involved. Dark snowboarders.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a bit more technical than arcadey, so I think apparently it's different control schemes. Like, you got one controls it, controls the player, one controls the board, I think someone was saying. So it's kind of. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that works. I think it is a Series X and S console exclusive, so hopefully it'll be a Game Pass one. Because I don't think it sold me enough to lock me in to buy it, especially if it is more technical. So I at least need to play a demo, I think.
Yes.
If not, get it on Game Pass. One that surprised a lot of people is a Plague Tale Requiem, which is a sequel to Plague Tale. A lot of people just were surprised to see it, really.
Yes, they were surprised about this. I was, A Plague Tale was very, very popular. It was one that me and Alex got to review. I am yet to review it because I found out what it mainly is about, and I'm not big on them, as we know. But at the same time, I also know how popular it was, and it still do well.
Yeah.
It still do well. It's coming out in 2022. Because we also found out that Far Cry 6 is going to be a console launch exclusive. So it's going to be exclusive on Xbox for the time being.
It might be a time exclusive for the months, I think.
It sounds like that, yeah. So, but that's great, that's the case.
Also,
of course, we were mentioning Obsidian earlier, of course. They've got the new Shroomman Doom update for Grounded. You can see you actually sit down. Which sounds so simple, but then you might have to wait like 10 months for it in Elmwood Crossing, and bigger spiders. Sorry, Alex. Something which I'm quite happy about, of course, Among Us. Of course, is finally coming to Xbox, and they're bringing 15 player lobbies. That's already out now, I believe. Which I have not downloaded yet. How? Why have not? Why am I not doing that now?
One thing I will say is, go back to Obsidian, is obviously, when we were talking about Grounded earlier, it was like one of their first games, whereas Obsidian had been around for quite a while, so.
Leave me alone. Right.
I like correcting that.
Yes, you do. It's about games.
Next big thing that made its announcement was, next one's probably Microsoft's Flight Simulator, which got a official release date for July 27th.
Yes.
They are adding a Top Gun expansion. It is coming to Game Pass, I believe, as well. Obviously, it's a Microsoft title, so.
Yeah, it's there's also be a Top Gun expansion coming in December.
I said.
Yes, okay, I'm aware of that.
But yeah, Microsoft Flight Simulator is officially on the Series X and S on July 27th.
I've read the wrong line of my notes. Yeah.
And they followed that up pretty sharpish with Forza Horizon 5.
Yes.
It's got a November 7th release date and its Mexican setting.
Yes.
Lots of customization things. You can do lots of mini games and kind of fun events and things like that.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome for sure.
Yeah.
Thinking about things that would be awesome, of course. It was only a trailer we got for. We didn't get anything more than that. But it was a fourth wall breaking trailer for Outer Worlds 2.
Yes.
Which some people were surprised about because it was pretty soon after the first one.
But we're looking, it's actually been like 2 or 3 years. So in terms of it doesn't feel cycles, like, it's kind of on.
Bearing in mind, we've like wrote off 2020, didn't we? Yeah. So it doesn't feel like that, does it? But Outer Worlds 2, doing what Fallout 36 should have been.
Yeah.
And they're all working together again now, so hopefully this one, because one more common in Starfield, will be much better.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to say about Forza Horizon 5's release date, which has raised a few eyebrows, is traditionally, Forza Horizon tends to launch in October. They've positioned it more towards the holiday season with the November release date. So a lot of people are saying it could indicate that Halo Infinite isn't 100% lock-in for this year.
I would prepare fairly big money on that, actually. Yeah.
A lot of people are saying because they're launching in November, would they really launch two big holiday games in November?
Well, one thing, of course, is because they're both game studio games, they would both be going into the Game Pass anyway, so they wouldn't mind either way. Although obviously Forza Horizon 5, the base game's going to Game Pass, but if you want the DLC, you've got to pay the full whack for it.
Some are saying it could mean that Halo Infinite is actually coming earlier. It's not, there's one of maybe a shock and awe kind of, oh yeah, it's coming out next month kind of thing.
Or like, it's all drops today sort of thing. That would be.
I don't think it would be anything like that, but
that would be a real shocker though.
I have seen a lot of people online say they are concerned about Halo Infinite's release if they haven't given a release date yet. And Forza Horizon, a semi-big holiday game, is taking a November slot.
Because
especially the American market, which obviously Microsoft mainly goes by because it's a big market for them. You don't really release anything after the third week of November because you're into Black Friday and Thanksgiving.
You are.
And everyone likes to get their big games out before Thanksgiving. So it is Halo Infinite, like the 2 weeks after Forza Horizon or potentially right being in December, but if you leave it too late in December, you kind of...
Which implies it might be a 2022 game, Ben.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where it's going to go, but some people are saying that Halo, on the other side, Halo could be an October game. Like maybe late September or October. But I think it might be wishful thinking, unfortunately.
Might be a wishful thinking, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. And yeah, this is kind of the really kind of bizarre ending, I think. Arkane Us did obviously came across with the Bethesda buyout.
Yes.
And that's his latest work, which is called Redfall. It is a vampire hunting shooter, arriving next summer. Mixture of supernatural spells, guns, and wooden stakes.
Sounds like heaven.
But is it a game where you got, in a presentation, we got Starfield, Halo Infinite. Is it the game you end on?
The game you chose to end on?
Yeah, I think Microsoft thought it might come across as a bigger deal than it was, but you had to. Two killer apps in the middle of.
I kind of liked it. Yeah. I kind of liked the way that they clearly have got a clear bit of a lot of hoo ha behind it, aren't they?
Yeah, I think for me it just felt a bit lackluster. Perhaps we'd like to see.
Well, we say that now.
See why the bigger games.
We say that now, but we could look back in 5 years' time and think, "Oh, Stroke of Genius." We could.
Potentially, but in terms of what's relevant now,
I guess.
Even Forza Horizon 5 probably could have swapped places and been the last thing, I think.
I'm surprised the Horizon 5 though, Ford Motorsport.
Yeah, I think with Motorsport, they're kind of rebooting it and reworking it from the ground up, so they're going to spend a lot of time on that.
It's all good.
But again, you got announced games that are missing, so obviously no Fable, no Perfect Dark.
We knew Fable would be a while off, yeah, to be fair. We knew that. Perfect Dark is a game which I'm interested in playing, for sure. Yeah,
because they've got a lot of talented people in that area on that team now. And also another one, Hellblade 2. It's one of the first games announced for the consoles. Dual wasn't shown today, or on that day. But really, they did do that second event where they did the more in-depth stuff, and they had a segment on it then, but still no release date, just kind of a bit behind the scenes how they're doing certain things, like a developer diary kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Ninja Theory are getting on with that.
Slow but steady, probably. Yeah. Slow but steady.
Yeah, so Microsoft's pretty packed, but I think it was a bit hit and miss. Some things I really liked, some things I didn't like so much, so...
And it's going to be the same for when we get to... We're going for this next one as well, isn't it?
You're saying for most of it, I think. Most of the E3 in general, really, but... yeah, regardless, we are moving on to Square Enix. And the Square Enix presents Summer 2021 show.
They did kind of start with a big one, didn't they?
Yeah, started with a great one. Brand new Marvel game in the shape of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I didn't even need to see this. I just listened to it. I'm like, is that Guardians? It was.
They are taking a completely different route to the Avengers. It is a purely single player game. You take on the role of Star-Lord, and it's you and the Guardians. And you have to make decisions. And the decisions you make can affect how well the team agree and disagree with you.
I'm loving this. It's basically it's like Mass Effect, but Guardians. Yeah. And it's great.
It's great they've taken the feedback from Avengers on board and not gone the live.
Yeah, they made a really big mistake on that side of things. But that's the thing. It could have worked amazing, but it didn't. But at the same time, also, I mean, you won't be able to switch to Groot or Gamora, it feels like.
Yeah.
And no Nebula, obviously, either, it seems like, at the moment. But that's okay.
No, but she's more just a villain, so she's much harder than a lot of the bosses during the game, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also no Mantis, who is very popular.
They showed Mantis in the trailer.
Did they?
Yes.
I missed that.
Yeah, Mantis was most definitely in the trailer. She's in the Nintendo Direct version of the trailer, which is a bit of a spoiler.
That might be it, yeah. That might be it.
They show clips of the same trailer that was in the Square Enix thing.
Mm. But you can put on a super mode with all of them together, apparently, so that's something at least.
Next up, and something which a lot of people moan about, is Square Enix are quite heavy on their mobile stuff. There's a lot of mobile content, not console. So the first six Final Fantasy games will come back as Pixel Remaster Collection on Steam Mobile. No consoles. I've seen a lot of people saying this game would have been perfect for Switch. And I tend to agree, but it is not there.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Final Fantasy fan we know. Yeah. So I'm not excited or disillusioned by that, to be fair. It's a thing which is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm quite intrigued by Marvel Avengers did actually say that they were next up pretty much, and they revealed that they've got a continuation of a main story campaign. Yeah. Wasteland Patrol starring Hawkeye will come in July, and in August we finally get Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther Battle of Wakanda's been announced already, but what they did announce at E3 is good, is it's going to be a free update. So a lot of people think it could be potentially paid DLC, but I think to entice people back into the game, they are just
making it free.
Giving it a thing and kind of...
Yes.
One game which kind of disappointed a lot of people, going by the feedback online, is Babylon's Fall. It's a hack and slash action game from Platinum, so it should be well Platinum's alley, but...
Yeah.
A lot of people were pretty disappointed with how it looked. The gameplay looked a bit off for people.
It's a live service game as well.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that got a lot of feedback, is the fact they've made it live action, or like a live service. And I think live service would be a mistake for a lot of companies.
You would have thought Square Enix would have, well, you say that they learned a lesson with what they've done with from the Marvel Avengers property. To Guardians.
Yeah.
But then the few people who worked on Nier Automata, amazing game.
Yeah.
Amazing game. And then they decided to put live service and support co-op gameplay. It's just not exciting. I think it's
very much because Platinum were very kind of anti live service. That's kind of part of the problems behind Scalebound, because Microsoft wanted to be like massively co-op and multiplayer, and Platinum didn't want that. So that's part of the breakdown in Scalebound. Yes. So to see another publisher come in and they end up doing a live service game is a bit kind of almost disappointing in a way.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think it didn't look where it should be. I think there's a lot of concern around Platinum Games at the moment in general. When you get to Nintendo E3, E3 Direct, I'll probably discuss that a bit more. But
yes.
But there is some concern around Platinum at the moment. But yes, next up, they did show off like the Life is Strange Remastered Collection and Life is Strange True Colors, which Matt's very excited about. He likes Life is Strange.
Like is not good enough. If you've not gone and played Life is Strange before, the Remastered Collection is the perfect way to get into the series for sure. It's no spoiler, but the last decision that you have to make in Life is Strange, I agonised over that for 5 minutes. No. Because you get so attached to the characters.
Yeah.
They did such a great job. Because it feels indie. Great storytelling. The art style is amazing. The indie music they bring in for as well. You grow to love that style as well. It's a beautiful. True Colors is just going to be even more of the same. How can you not like that? Chef's kiss.
Yeah, it's great. Life is Strange does look good, and it's something I'm really interested to get stuck into, so I'll give that a go.
I think you'd be a fool not to give it a try.
Yeah. The next up, we had Square Enix game in conjunction with Team Ninja, obviously from Koei Tecmo. And it is Stranger of Paradise, a Final Fantasy Origins story. It's kind of like a Souls-style Final Fantasy game. Mm. So it's usually kind of thing you expect from Souls games, like a smooth combat.
Dying all the time, man?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's not going to be quite as difficult, but it's going to be heavily inspired by the Souls games.
Do you know what? I think at some point we need to get out some kind of can for every time someone says the words, it's like Dark Souls, because because everyone just says that now, and nothing interesting, but everybody's saying now. I'm like, no.
Yeah, a lot of people say it when it kind of leads online, people say it's a PS5 exclusive, but it does appear to be coming to the Xbox Series consoles as well.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Okay, so next up, we're going to look at the Capcom presentation.
Yes.
Capcom divided a lot of people, bring it simply.
Yes, it did.
We haven't really rounded up our thoughts on Square Enix. I think the thing with Square Enix is a lot of it is mobile-based. They spend a lot of time on mobile games.
And that is their prerogative, of course. They can do as they please. It's their company. But at the same time, there is also a lot of problems on console, which they could certainly do a lot more with sometimes. But at the same time, given how things are moving towards things like xCloud and the like, it's no wonder that they're looking at doing really some mobile stuff, because a lot of people
there's a lot of money in mobile, which is the thing.
There's a lot of money in it.
I think it disappointed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are hoping for big console games like big updates on things, maybe a new Tomb Raider and stuff like that.
Yeah. One thing we do need to say about, because as we move into Capcom, is it was quite a short compared to the others.
Yeah.
It was short and sweet. But it was only really a few things announced, really.
With Capcom?
Yeah.
Well, Capcom, literally, in their announcement for the event, said everything was going to be there. Everyone was expecting at least one game to show that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Capcom showed off everything they said. They didn't have any surprises or anything unexpected. The only unexpected thing was the last 10 minutes, which really focused on esports, which turned a lot of people off. For a lot of people,
it's not for everybody. No. I mean, I was quite pleased about. I mean, all the information is good information. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I was happy to hear that Reverse goes live next month.
Yeah.
For example, I've been going every day, like, can you start yet? No, so it's not gone live yet. I've been wanting to play that. It looks amazing. Yeah. And also the fact that the Resident Evil Village DLC has, the development of it is in progress.
Yeah.
Great.
Were you one of the people who demanded DLC for a game that you had to pay for? Because their wording is, due to popular demand, we're doing DLC.
Now, Capcom, when they've done Resident Evil DLC before, yes, they charge for their DLC. However, it is always reasonably priced. It's not overpriced like you do some places. Yeah. People, look at you, EA. the stuff for an Evil 7 Biohazard, that was actually quite well priced. It wasn't too much. I think it was like £3 in the UK for each story pack. You get like 4 hours of extra gameplay, which is not bad, I think. Yeah. That's not too bad. And of course, if you don't know what you're doing, even 8 hours, that's even more. You get even more value for money. I've got to admit, the Monster Hunter stuff they were talking about just goes right over my head because I'm not a Monster Hunter.
Yeah, the Monster Hunter you're either into or not. So I've not really played Monster Hunter, but I know friends who are really heavily into it.
They adore it, yeah.
The Monster Hunter 2 story takes more of like a Zelda approach. It's more like an action RPG.
You mentioned that before, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different spin on the Monster Hunter series. More story-based rather than going on missions and slaying beasts. But Monster Hunter Stories 2 has now got a demo, which comes out at the end of June.
Yeah.
And it's quite standard with Switch demos at the moment. You can transfer your save data from the demo to the actual game, which is really cool. Then, one thing that I spent a lot of time on gameplay of was the Ace Attorney Chronicles game.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very excited about these.
Yeah. Not saying it's a bad game or anything, but a lot of people are saying if all the games to focus gameplay on, it probably wasn't the most exciting they could have used. Because I'm story-driven and reading it, so are you just getting spoilers for the game if you're watching gameplay?
I'm going to draw my objection card here and say, spoken to the person who's going to play this attorney. Because
you played demo of it, I've seen you play it as well.
You've seen me play some of it, yes. Ace Attorney is an absolutely amazing franchise, and to see what some more of Phoenix Wright's ancestors, I can't wait to see it for sure. But yeah, as you did say, that was pretty much it though for Capcom. It could have been a lot more where they should have hit, obviously. Yeah. But at the same time, it also could be a lot. They could have also shown a lot less somehow. I'm not quite sure, but they could have done. I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was okay what they showed. Just wish they showed more.
Yeah, that's the thing with Capcom. Like, I think they made some weird decisions, like closing out the esports bit rather than having a section in the middle where they talk about esports. Was a bit of a weird decision.
Yes.
I think it probably would have killed the pacing of the game announcements, but it kind of felt a bit filler, really, some of the Capcom stuff. A lot of the games were already out. I'm trying to think of any game, apart from this Attorney stuff, any games that showed which weren't already available in some form.
Yes, I can see your point on that one.
Obviously, Monster Hunter Stories 2 is due out in July, so that's a pre-release game, but they didn't have anything past a couple of months' time to show off, which is kind of a bit strange. Yeah, last one we're going to look at is the Nintendo E3 Direct.
This is where Nintendo fanboy comes out, isn't it?
No, sorry, those things that I've
Of us, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, I'm quite a Nintendo fanboy nowadays as well, to be fair. I do a lot of time on my Switch because it's so portable and you can take it wherever you want to go.
Yeah, Nintendo kind of did hit the ground running. Started off with the Smash character reveal, which is Kazuya Mishima.
Yes. I've got to admit, he's not my favourite character in Tekken.
Yeah.
But he makes perfect sense.
He's got that little quirk in terms of, like, the demon stuff. And also, he's been, if you watch every single game, he's one of the longest standing.
He has been everything. He has, for sure. He was also the biggest one in the movie. Yeah. As well, I also like the fact that they actually had him doing in the trailer, had him throwing all the bodies into the volcanoes, which is a thing that happens a lot in the actual thing. And then he goes to throw Kirby in and then looks out at him there and you see this height behind Kirby floating up and away. Yeah. I'm like, Kirby!
It's just the Smash Brothers humour.
It's the Smash humour, absolutely.
It's like his proper serious fighting character, then they have that little comedic moment at the end, so.
Yeah, because like you take out Captain Falcon into the pit, everyone else into the pit, and then he comes up with Kirby like, no!
I thought a bit of Min Min way through it, and her arm was still on the ledge, and he's kicked it over the edge.
Yeah, that's
it's just a little touch of attention to detail. Yeah,
that sort of thing, though. You haven't played a lot of Tekken, have you?
I've dabbled in it. I played a bit. I got Tekken 7, but not spent loads on it. We've also got Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on Wii U, which I spent a lot of time with.
Because Tekken do have a lot of humour in their cutscenes as well. Notably, when Kazuya's dad, Heihachi, he's got a bear called Kuma. And when Kuma wins his tournament, he gets to sit in the chair and press the button, which lets the trapdoor fall down it goes. So he slaps the Kuma time, and that sort of thing, it shouldn't work, but it does work really well. And the hits kept on coming.
Yeah. So, first round of headlines I had, Life is Strange Remastered and Life is Strange Drew Garland.
I marked out so hard because I'm like, that looks like Life is Strange, but it's not quite the same art style. But then you see Max, and then you see Chloe, and then you see the new girl. I've forgotten her name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Sit down between them. I was like, no!
Yeah, I did a original trailer for it, which was animated, which got a lot of people excited.
It got me very excited. I mean, they announced the True Colors coming to the Switch on the same day they've all on console, which is huge.
The only thing that's not confirmed is the complete collection, because I think that got dated for the 25th of September or everywhere else, but it's just
later. Remastered is coming later this year, but that's fine.
That has been announced the 25th on other consoles, so.
But I don't mind it being a bit longer for that. I don't mind that at all.
They also did announce Guardians of the Galaxy coming to the Switch. A lot of people were like, how's that going to run? Given the struggle that the Avengers game had running on a lot of consoles, it was later revealed it is going to be a cloud version of the game.
Same way the Hitman was running it.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how well these kind of games run, but I think it obviously depends on your internet connection, but Guardians of the Galaxy has come to Switch as a cloud game.
You got quite excited about Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania.
Yes, I love the Super Monkey Ball franchise. It's one of the games I got with my GameCube on launch day.
It's 20 years, you say.
Yeah, it's 20th anniversary this year, so it's really great seeing that recognised.
My comment was like, it's 2021, why are we getting Super Monkey Ball? And then you made that very point, I was like, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Banana Mania is great, cause it's got the first and second game and Super Monkey Ball Deluxe. So the first three titles all together in a remastered package.
Beautiful.
I believe it's not exclusive to Switch. I think it is going to other consoles, but Nintendo got the announcement right.
Good for them.
They got managed to get the announcement, so.
Good for them, for sure.
And to be fair, I think I probably would get it on Switch.
Yeah.
So I can play it on the go.
It's always good, especially when we're going on games like trains and things again, so it's always good again.
The next big game for me was Mario Party Superstars. You and me have both been playing Mario Party recently online.
So, it helps the fact that they've unlocked that ability to do so. And
yeah, the online was great. And obviously, I think it was a little litmus test for this game.
It's been really popular.
Because the online is going to be full online for this game.
Yeah.
And if you're playing with friends, you can save your progress mid-game. If you're playing with strangers, you can't. You have to play the whole way through.
That's fair, yeah. I think. But it also, I think if this one, if I remember something correctly, they got boards from all the classic Mario. Not all of them, but...
I think, for what I can go, there's 5 boards in total, and they're all from the N64 era.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Okay. And,
for what I said in the trailer, it's 5 game boards, and they're from classic... and all of the N64 era games.
Well, if that's the case, that's fine.
But the mini games, there's 100 mini games from across the whole series.
Ah, that's what I'm thinking of.
And they are all butter controls. Be interested if they've got any new mini games, because I think it would be nice to have a couple of new mini games, but I do think they probably will be all previously
seen. It'd be nice to see a couple of ones from the most recent Mario Party, because I do enjoy those ones.
Yeah.
And of course, that comes out on the 29th.
Yes, of October's a busy month. So
very busy month.
Monkey Ball on 5th of October, and Mario Party on the 29th.
Mario Party comes out after we've been to EGX as well, so that's going to be interesting. And then, of course, a massive, massive game was announced.
Yes, one has been heavily rumoured. Like, it's for the last couple of years, people say Nintendo's got a 2D Metroid on the way. It's very much a big game for them, and it's...
But it went quiet, didn't it?
Yeah. But they officially showed off the new 2D Metroid game.
Oh.
And it's been called Metroid Dread, so...
I'm getting goosebumps.
It's officially Metroid 5, because it takes place after the fourth 2D game, pretty much.
After Fusion, yeah.
And yeah, it's looking...
I don't know if you ever saw me play... I'm going to digress momentarily. I don't know if you ever saw me playing the Assassin's Creed 2D game.
No.
The Chronicles sort of thing. It's a 2D platformer, basically. And with stealth elements and that sort of thing. Whereas normally it's obviously 3D and open world and everything. Which I'm guessing is... the Metroid games are now more first person, aren't they?
The Prime series, it depends on the series.
Yeah.
Core Metroid is 2D, but Metroid Prime is 3D.
Yeah. But now with the capability of what the Switch can do, Metroid Dread looked...
Just looked really slick and really kind of fast.
It looked polished. It looked ready to go now. That's why it's October the 8th.
Yeah.
this is a game which I will be all over. And this is my first Metroid game, this will be.
Nice.
But it makes me also want to go back and play the old ones now. I think that's the whole story.
You can get Super Metroid and Metroid on the NES and SNES.
And I have given a bit of a go at them.
Yeah.
But I just felt the controls were a bit clunky. But then again, we are playing with games which are...
80s.
Yes, they are not...
That's how it's his 35th anniversary this year as well as Zelda's.
Exactly. So we can talk about games... So that's a nice little treat for us all.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they did also say the Metroid Prime 4 is doing well, like the development's progressing smoothly. So I think it probably could be a couple of years before Metroid Prime 4 is out. So what I've got in my head, kind of business wise, I might be doing Metroid Dread this year. Obviously, Metroid Dread is a title that got teased way back in the early 2000s, so it's good that they've kind of kept that name and kind of put it to this new game. But I can kind of see him maybe doing Metroid Prime Trilogy HD, which is also long rumoured, maybe doing that next year.
Yeah.
Then launching Metroid Prime 4 the year after.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But a lot of people are happy because for Nintendo, Metroid isn't a big franchise. I think only one game sold over more than 3 million copies.
But it's got a cult following, isn't it?
Yes, it's very much cult. But seeing it has been a lot of time into it. And also the success, like, with pre-orders and that, Metroid Dread is doing incredibly well with pre-orders.
So this could sort of launch it into the family.
Yeah, so Amazon's best-selling games, it was the best-selling actual game. I think there's a couple of vouchers above it. But in terms of actually video games, Metroid Dread was top
Let's not forget, of course.
Turn gay for quite a while.
Let's not forget that Samus is one of the core characters in Smash, of course, which shows how much Nintendo value it.
Yeah, it's just good because obviously you've got the likes of F-Zero and things like that. Other franchises have been similar kind of levels of success.
Yeah.
And they are... Yeah, they've not been touched recently, unfortunately, so...
Yes,
the fact they are focusing on Metroid is pretty good.
I love new F-Zero, but yeah.
Yeah, it's out October 8th. Next big game from Nintendo is, of course, Mario Golf Super Rush.
This made me indecently excited.
You normally hate anything to do with golf, but...
Mario Golf is adorable. Mario Golf is adorable. I mean, I don't like golf.
Yeah.
This is not golf.
Yeah, the rush mode or speed golf and the battle arena look incredible.
Yeah.
They did make the announcement there'll be free updates, like free new courses and characters coming up.
Always good.
So...
When you say free updates, I'm like, yes.
It's something I think Nintendo cracked, especially the Splatoon series. Like, they've always added new maps onto that and potentially new modes and events and stuff, so... did focus a little bit more on Monster Hunter Stories too, because obviously it is just come to Switch for the time being.
Yeah, we've already touched that already. Yeah.
One game I'm quite happy to see, another series I'm happy to see coming back, is WarioWare.
It's the me, Wario!
Yeah. WarioWare Games Together is a new WarioWare game, which is really good to see.
Yeah.
It's coming out September 10th, and actually has two-player co-op as well, which is a first for series.
A lot of people going mental for this.
Yeah.
And I can see why. It's been a long time for me to WarioWare.
Yeah, it depends. I think people thought it could happen, because Nintendo did send out a survey recently asking, like, would you be happy to pay this much for a Warrior game kind of thing? So they're doing research on kind of price point.
Yeah.
So a lot of people took that as an indication it could be happening, but it's good to see it actually is announced and actually coming pretty soon in September. So, so next up, big third-party game got a bit of a spotlight, which is Shin Megami Tensei 5, which is one of the first games announced for Switch.
It was, yes.
So obviously Shin Megami Tensei is a series that Persona is a spin-off from, so there's lots of the same demons and characters do some of sharpen them. Showed off some game footage, which is pretty cool. November the 12th release date. So it's right about a week before Pokemon remakes.
But basically, Nintendo have got a very... We actually said last year there wasn't a lot come from Nintendo. Yeah. This year, oh my god!
Nintendo really packed the second half this year now, so...
It's like, we're sorry about 2000, here's 2021 for you.
Yeah. The thing is, there's lots of packed stuff, but there's a lot of series you're not expecting. We touched on the other series you're not expecting at the end, and kind of... There's a lot of their more niche or, some are saying, dormant franchises.
That's fair.
So, another thing that got people a lot very excited is Danganronpa Decadence. It's not a game that kind of interests me. It's kind of like...
You've practiced saying that, haven't you?
But basically, I know it's got a very cult following. Like, a lot of people do really like the games and really enjoy them. So, it's a new collection with all three games. It also has a new game. Which is a spin-off of, or was like a game developed on a mode in one of the games. One big surprise as well is that Fatal Frame's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Maiden of Blackwater exclusively released on the Wii U. I do believe the exclusivity deal is now over, so Kotecmo are bringing it to more consoles as well as the Switch. But the announcement happened at the Nintendo event.
So, the game, Nintendo, some people at one point were saying, can Nintendo hang on the big boys? Yes, is the answer, I feel.
Yeah.
They're not hanging them, they're putting their punches.
It's a really big surprise to see Fatal Frame Maiden in Blackwater announced, and it's coming later this year, no set release date. And then the big kind of real surprise before we get into the final segment was the return of Advance Wars. This is what a series that people expected was dormant, if not a dead franchise for Nintendo. Because they moved away from the Game Boy Advance, which was what gave it its name.
Mm-hmm.
Advance Wars, so...
But of course, with Switch being basically... It reminds me a lot of what the Game Boy Advance used to look like at times. And that's quite clever.
Yeah, no, they have got Advance Wars Reboot Camp, which is a remaster of the first two Advance War games that have been rebuilt from the ground up for the Switch, so... new art style, stuff like that, so it's really cool. That's coming out December 3rd. It's like the Nintendo's last release of the year, really.
They have also announced things like Just Dance, of course.
Yeah, they're kind of the third-party things that dropped in the middle.
Yeah, but there's some really good ones in there, obviously. Yeah.
Then we moved on to the final segment of the presentation, which was the Legend of Zelda segment.
Let's face it, there were some people probably wearing Zelda, Legend of Zelda cosplay watching this as well.
Yeah, a lot of people were waiting for news on Zelda, because obviously it's the 35th anniversary this year. I'm not sure it's as positive as it could have been in terms of the news, but Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, the first DLC wave is hitting, the 18th of June it's coming out.
Yeah, the Pulse of the Ancients.
Yeah.
Yes, and they've also reconfirmed Skyward Sword. It's still coming July 16th.
Yeah, so that was very much stuck in. I did play Skyward Sword on the Wii, but I am getting on the Switch, so I can give it a proper going over again and get back into it.
Yes, we look forward to you playing that for sure.
Yeah, actually, it is a very important game in the franchise. It is the start of the Zelda timelines, effectively, so...
Yes.
It sets up the creation of the Master Sword and... Like... Why Zelda is the Legend of Zelda. Why is the Legend of Zelda.
Why she is Legend, yes.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, I'm excited to try and get stuck into it.
And then, of course...
Yes, we had the...
People were wanting Switch Pros, weren't they?
Yeah. I wasn't, purely because Nintendo explicitly said...
Yeah.
It would be purely software-related news.
Yes, and you were saying that, and I...
Yeah. So a lot of people say, can't wait to see Switch Pro at the E3 event. It's not happening. At the moment, I'm very kind of on the fence whether there will be a Switch Pro.
Yes.
Especially with all the parts shortages and constraints around new consoles at the moment.
I can't blame people for wanting it.
Yeah. I think, for me, the timing and the practicality of it at the moment...
No, that's
fair. I don't see the point of it, because if you make a brand new Switch console, then you can't sell any of it, because you haven't got the parts for it.
Let's also not forget, of course, that the Switch is still out... The current Switch is still outselling the brand new consoles.
Yeah.
So why? Then they need to
make it. Yeah. Because like with Nintendo's last financial update, they did say that for the year ahead, they were cutting their system sold forecast to 26 million because... That's the 8 parts I can guarantee they'll be able to get. So if you're that constrained, it doesn't seem like a good point to release a new iteration.
They know what they're doing. Yeah. They know what they're doing. But the reason why we talk about that is because we did get some hardware.
Yes, a new Game & Watch system, very much in the vein of Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch, but this one actually has 3 games on it.
Yes, and it's probably part of the anniversary for the Legend of Zelda we were talking about.
Yeah, I did say... Because they did actually say they had no other Switch games or projects or promotions coming up for the game for the Zelda anniversary. That was kind of their thing.
Mm.
So a lot of people have taken that to say that the long-rumoured Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess double pack isn't now happening, which a lot of people were adamant was going to happen. A lot of insiders, it's coming.
It'd be disappointing if that was the case.
AGI Numa did turn around and say, we're not got anything else planned for Switch. It's purely... Here's your Game & Watch. Which does feature great games. It's got Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2 Link's Adventure, and the original Game Boy version of Link's Awakening, which is a pretty good offering. As well as like the Game & Watch game Vermin, where you kind of plays Link to...
That's not too bad, though. To be fair, that'll sell well. People like playing them. And then, of course, the final thing we got of the week was the Breath of the Wild sequel. We got some more look accepted.
Yeah, it's like first gameplay look, which is good.
It looks as beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. It looks beautiful. People were concerned because they said they're going to set it in the same world. People were wondering why it's taking so long, but then we had the revelation of they're adding the floating islands. Like, you got stuff happening on ground level and up in the skies. So yeah, it's a lot of new features, new things coming in. A lot of new move sets that are showed off.
And they also confirmed the 2022 release date as well. So it's not going to be 2023 or 2024. It's next year.
They did also say they were aiming for 2022. So
yes.
Depending how development goes. But
they've confirmed it's going to happen now. So that's great.
Yeah.
They
announce a title, which Nintendo actually did go on the record afterwards as saying why they haven't announced a title. And the reason is because some Zelda titles can give hints or indications towards what the game's about, so it could be like speculation.
Minish Cap, for example. Yeah.
So depending on what the title is, it could be a bit spoilery or kind of give hints towards what's going to happen in the game or the direction the game's going in. Where I think they're not ready to show that off quite yet.
They've been quite clever if that is the case. I mean, this is gonna sell so well. It's gonna be, if it's as good as the first one was, it'll win a lot of Game of the Year awards.
I can see it being their big blowout game next E3. They'll show it off properly. By then
it'll be hands on a lot, of course. At EGX, of course, the year after.
Yeah, so it could be their big holiday. One of their big holiday games for next year, showing it off at E3 next year. Potentially a trailer at the Game Awards this year, maybe a bit of an update or like a bit more information about it. I'm not entirely sure when they do the title. That could potentially be Game Awards, but more likely to be next E3 because they announced Breath of the Wild's title at E3. So,
at which point, hopefully, we'll be back in places like where we can actually do it again, not online next year.
Yeah,
and that'll be really cool because. We saw the reaction in, was it New York at the Nintendo store? How mad that was.
Yeah, no, there's so many. The Nintendo, I think, for me, was the most solid. There were things I didn't care so much about.
Yes.
But the fact that they didn't bring back a lot of Nintendo franchises.
Advance Wars for one.
Advance Wars, WarioWare, to some degree, Metroid Dread.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to see some franchises you weren't expecting to see show up.
There was some people I mentioned earlier who were very upset about a franchise not appearing in a new game.
Yeah, I think Bayonetta 3...
It wasn't Bayonetta I was talking about either. I saw a lot of people not like...
Mario Kart, I think, was another one people were expecting to see as well.
People were wanting those, yes, but no.
Yeah.
This is the one that people were hoping they were going to get a new game of, even though it's been out for like 5 minutes, and have an Animal Crossing game. Some people were angry that there was no Animal Crossing mentioned, and I think
it's not necessarily a new game. I think it's the updates. I think the updates have been a bit lackluster compared to like the first year.
But some people were wanting brand new game.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's been out for just over a year, guys. Give them a chance.
It took them 7 to 8 years to make
New Horizons.
Yes, and New Horizons. So.
And New Horizons is, well, as we discussed on Game Junkies last year. Was pretty much perfect. It won a lot of Game of the Year awards for sure. And you know, they're still supporting it, guys. What more do you want? Come on, give Nintendo a break.
And again, I think Nintendo did raise this in the Q&A after E3. They did say they are still supporting it, still updating it, but they didn't have anything to show at E3 this year. So don't worry, it's not been forgotten about. They are doing stuff, but. They just didn't have anything that they felt was significant enough to show off just yet. But like lots of rumors going around Mario Kart 9 could have been there this year. I think Mario Kart 8 still selling phenomenally well. I think they might spend a bit more time on that and let Mario Kart 8 carry on doing its thing.
Yeah, Mario Kart's doing fine. Yeah. For sure.
And going back to our Babylon's Fall bit about the Square Enix conference, the lack of Bayonetta 3 again.
Yes.
Is why people get concerned about Platinum. So what's going on? The game announced pretty much in early 2017 still hasn't been shown apart from a reveal trailer. Because no gameplay in that trailer. It's purely cinematic and a title reveal. Yeah, so a lot of people are wondering what's going on with Platinum at the moment. Nintendo did also say that they are happy with the progress on Bayonetta as it is, so Nintendo are happy with how the development's going, but some people are suspecting there may have been a restart or a reboot somewhere through development. Because they did originally say they were trying out new things with Bayonetta 3. So it could be they went in one direction, it didn't work out, and they had to backtrack and redo bits. But
it's fine as long as it's for good reason. Yeah. I mean, to use Cyberpunk example again, it's always best to make sure the game is ready before you drop it. That's what my Metroid Prime, they pushed it back. And now it's hopefully... Yeah. I mean, with faith, the Metroid fans have been supplemented with...
Well, the thing with Metroid Prime is I've actually turned around and I did the video saying, yeah, we've run into problems, we've started to redevelopment. Whereas Bayonetta has not said anything.
Yes, that is concerning.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes news is good news. Sometimes. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, especially after seeing Babylon's Fall and the disappointment there, a lot of people were wondering whether Platinum's losing their
touch.
Their touch a bit, and whether we should be concerned about it.
Are you?
I'm not, because I think Bayonetta's a massive thing for Platinum. It's pretty much their mascot, so...
Bayonetta is their mascot, isn't
it? So yeah, so I think they would spend a lot of time making sure they get it right.
Yeah, but no, they don't rush these things, no. Though.
Return, last thing kind of to discuss really is who do we think won E3, so to speak?
Nintendo hands down.
Yeah.
I will say that Xbox Bethesda were a close second this time.
Yeah. Looking at a lot of polls online, it was ditched between Microsoft and Nintendo, and Nintendo have come across on top every time.
Mm-hmm. But Microsoft have certainly bridged the gap a lot.
Yeah.
But having Bethesda as part of them definitely helps.
Yeah. Well, I think... It's a slightly awkward thing. I know we've obviously had a COVID year, so it's not necessarily as much to show, but a lot of people say that some of the other presentations could literally have been trailers in Microsoft and Nintendo's events. Like, they didn't need to do an event. They could have just announced their stuff in...
Especially seeing as apart from one thing, everything else for Capcom, for example, could have been else
places as well. They could have had Ace Attorney Chronicles in the Nintendo Direct. The Monster Hunter stuff could have been covered in the Direct.
Yep. And the Resident Evil stuff could have been covered in Xbox. Yeah. Could have been.
Or even at Summer Games Fest, which obviously is going on concurrently with
E3. Yes, and obviously you'll be keeping people at best of Dragon News for the year, of course.
But yeah, it's just, for me, Nintendo had the most solid, like I said, it wasn't perfect, there's stuff I really wanted to see, but I do think Bayonetta not being there was a bit of a disappointment.
It was disappointing, yes, but they did come out the gate very hard, very fast, with two smash hits already in their head.
And they got some very strong announcements, like, I'm really looking forward to Monkey Ball.
It won't be my go-to for sure.
Yeah.
If I had to pick the one which stood out to me the most, Metroid Dread I can't wait for, obviously. Yeah. But for me, it's the mere fact that Life is Strange, the whole lot, is coming to Switch. How can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not? I imagine, given the size of that game, it's probably going to need to be a cloud. Or partially, anyway.
Well, it depends. How many gigabytes is it?
We're talking maybe each one. There's three before Life is Strange, True Colour. About 30 gig each. So if they're remastered as well, it'd be bigger.
Yeah.
So we're probably looking at probably at least 200 gig.
But to be fair, Nintendo has got a thing where a lot of their files are a lot smaller than the other consoles. You've got really good compression for the Switch.
You don't want the quality to suffer when you're putting dock mode, obviously. So, but if it's partially cloud, that's fine, of course. We know.
Yeah.
It works. They figured it out. We know.
Quite a common thing is you'd have a lot of the game on the cart and you have to download other stuff, so it might be a mixture of both.
And I'm cool with that.
That's
what they did with the Xbox version of the Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah. In terms of stats and viewing stats, Nintendo was the most watched up to a couple of days ago. They had 3.2 million views.
It's not much shocker, is it?
This is like peak viewership, so how many people watching it at the peak?
Yeah.
And Nintendo had 3.2 million as their peak.
It's not a shocker, though,
viewers.
Is it? It's really not a shocker.
Microsoft was second with 2.3 million.
Still quite a long way behind, isn't it?
Yeah, so Nintendo ran away with
having. It's still much better, though, than they've done in recent years. So kudos where it's due.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, yeah, you were.
Yeah, the fact to get that many viewers at one time.
There's always so watchable, aren't they?
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They're also waiting for that mic drop moment. And arguably, they started with a mic drop moment, arguably. A lot of Tekken fans are very happy to see Kazuya.
That was a good trailer for Breath of the Wild 2 as well. So that was a strong end, I think.
It was a strong direct.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, so Matt, before we round up, what have you guys been playing and what have you been playing?
Well, obviously, lots of D&D. It comes out every Friday and Monday now on VGX Global Media. But I've been doing a lot of Hitman, obviously. I love playing Hitman. And I'm playing The Elusive Targets at the moment. Got a new one going up this weekend. So it'll be up, as it goes out, this will go out tomorrow. And then, of course, I'm starting Mass Effect from the beginning soon on the channel as well. Cool. That's going to be a challenge because I've never played Mass Effect from the beginning before. Looking forward to that. Obviously, to be out of Among Us and Animal Crossing on a regular basis. And as you said, Mario Party as well. Even a bit of Mario Kart just to get my backside kicking out and again as well. And I'll be honest, I've been dipping in and out of F1 because I'm getting ready for F1 2021, which is coming out next month. Looking nervously excited because obviously EA, of course, now owns Codemasters. So I'm kind of worried what they're going to do to my beloved game.
Fair enough. So I've been playing very much Animal Crossing. Done some Mario Party recently, also Mario Party Online. Tetris 99, Batman 99. Been spending some time on the Xbox with more Tetris Effect, more Forza Horizon 4. So little things like that. I've given Wonderful 101 Remastered a bit of a spin. Still quite a cool game. Lots of little games like that, really.
There's one more. Resident Evil Village. We purchased it, downloaded it, started up. 10 minutes later, I turned it off because I was scared of my own shadow. I need to play with the lights on, definitely, I think. Yes, they've done a good job of that, for sure, for building suspense and tension. Yeah, scary.
Yep, so Matt, what are you, Alex and Kerry, looking at next week for your show?
We actually haven't narrowed it down yet. We usually do it on Monday, usually. So we'll have an awesome show for you next week, that is for sure. Kerry, we've been currently smacking it out of the park with our top three list, so I dare say we've got one coming soon. The last one we did was games that didn't live up to the hype, which... I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. You haven't listened to it yet. Go back and listen to it.
There's some interesting choices from that one.
Very good choices. And not just from me either. We actually have a little competition now about who can win with the best choices. So, you guys be judge of that. We've got something coming up over the summer we're quite excited about. Collaborations with various peoples. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, obviously, don't forget to check Matt, Alex and Kerry out next weekend. And Matt, where can people find you?
People can find me at MattTech UK. You can find Alex at Spiderbird UK. You can find Kerry at Shira Beans. And obviously you can find us all on Game Junkies Pod and also on Dungeons and Junkies every Friday and Monday.
So obviously you've got my YouTube channel, Chris React to All One Word, and on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. You find my Twitter, all my YouTube videos do get shared there, so easiest way to find both is just to follow me on Twitter. Thank you for listening, guys. You still are. Until next time, speak to you soon. Bye.
podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.